Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Let's Talk About It. This is the 1,401st episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your girl, Adrian Misunderstandings Allen, Misunderstood Adrian. And tonight with me, I have Pastor, Sister, Chappy, Tallene, Toy, Daly, Chap Chap, Chappity Chap Chap, Chap Chap.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I don't even know. But we're going to figure that out. You know what? It'd be so funny if we could just take back, like, take everybody back to, like, back in the day where we used to just play and have fun. And everything was like a hand game. Remember, like, have a coconut smile, you know what I mean? Big Mac fillet fish, quarter pounder with some cheese, ice cold fish shake, the whole nine.
Wait. That was my favorite one. You can't mess that one up. Big Mac layer fish, quarter pounder cheeseburger, icy coke, milkshake, sundaes, and apple pies. That was my favorite one. You can't mess that one up.
I wasn't a double dutcher. So all I could do is turn. So I don't really know all the words. I just know what it looked like, okay? I can look like I'm getting in, but then don't let the rope hit me or nothing, but I'm just going to get in.
You know what? It's funny you brought that up about double dutch, because that's really like walking and flowing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, to a person that don't know how to do it, it looks really difficult and complicated, because you got two ropes swinging with two people on the end, and you're trying to get into that rope so you can begin to jump, but you're a little bit scared because you might get hit, or you might get tripped, or you might fall. But then those people that practice it, they just jump in the rope and start jumping like it ain't nothing to them. And they make it look real easy and smooth. That's how the Holy Spirit is. You got some of us, we sitting there, and we just doing that little rock. We trying to jump in. We trying to get the rhythm of the Spirit, but we scared we might get hit. We might get stopped. We might get tripped. We might get hurt. And then some of us, we just practice a little more. And that at some point, if you keep practicing, you're going to see that Holy Spirit double dutch rope turn, and you're just going to jump in and flow with it. I'm sorry, you the one to me. I don't know why I'm in that mood tonight. I'm just in that go mood. So come on, let's go. What we doing, y'all?
I don't have that to say. I'm sitting here like I'm flabbergasted, because I don't know if you know, but if you have never been on Purpose Kingdom Network, you are listening to Purpose Kingdom Network, and it goes down in the PK.
Amen.
It's going down to PK for some years. And I'm trying to tell you that when this Let's Talk About It started, it started just like this. And I'm telling you, when we make a comment and we be talking about something completely different, and Toy gets it in the Bible, Lord have mercy. Y'all just best get together, get your cups, get your pens, get your papers, get people. Go and text your people, tell your people, if you ain't been to church, look, this is beyond church. We already know that it's not the church, because the church is closed. So we get it. We get that. But this is God, y'all. This is a place where we need to be able to show up for God. We show up for everybody else. Everybody else got a stance. Everybody wants a voice. Everybody has something to say. Tonight, let's just show up for God. Can we do that?
Amen.
If you'd like to join us live on the air, the number is 319-527-6091. And if you are impelled to speak, you got to press 1. It's going to signal the board, and then when you hear your beep, it's your turn to speak. It'll be simple. The way that Let's Talk About It works is that we usually sit at the table and we put things on the table. Now, why is it that we say we put things on the table? Because it's already February 15th, and there's so many things that can be put on this table. It's almost like, well, damn, we need a bigger table, and it's already February.
So, yes.
It seems as if tonight we're at the table, but we have files and files of other things that we need to go in and like, maybe we can close them. See, I believe that in 2021, what happens is 2021 is the call to get it done, right? God is saying that we have already messed it up. We had changed it. He had put us in the house. We've been on our reset. Now it's 2021. Now you have a choice. You can either still be sick or you can start to be moving on to your better. And the reason why I say it like that is because, unfortunately, contrary to popular demand, you cannot be telling your 5-year-olds and your 7-year-olds that we're only going to be doing this for another couple of weeks and you'll be dead. Don't worry about it, kids. Don't worry about it, kids. We'll only have to do this for like another 5 or 6 days, 5 or 6 weeks, and we'll be dead. It'll be all over. Don't worry about it. I can't wait for this thing to be over because we'll be dead soon. I hope that it resonates with someone. I hope that it resonates with someone.
I hope that's not what's being said to our babies.
No, but our message right now that we have with our babies, if we don't say something, if we don't speak back up, if we don't show that there is life.
Amen. I give you that.
Through this pandemic.
That's right.
Then basically it sounds just like I'm saying. It's just, I just gave it to you so you can understand what it looks
like.
Made it hit home. Is that what it did? It made it hit home.
Made you look at how your actions are being perceived.
Right. Like the kids come home and they're hungry, but there is no food. They don't smell food. And then when they go to the freezer, there is food, but it's frozen. Because they don't expect anyone to be there long enough to eat it. Like, it's just like. So the kids are turning around like, well, what do you want me to do, Mom? Like, you know, we used to be able to tell the kids go study. We used to be able to tell them go do something. Now it's like, it's almost, I feel bad for kids right now. Like, I feel, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed with kids. Kids are enjoying this a little bit. The kids need to take all this in right now because right now adults in the world have a problem. The children do not have a problem. It's the adults that are taking care of the children. And when we figure that out, I believe that the doors will open back up. I believe the pandemic will be over. The second we get it, the second our brains go to that, like, it is us.
Well, you know what, and I'm glad you brought up that the pandemic starting off because, you know, I was scrolling through social media the other day, and I saw a couple of posts, truthfully, where a lot of people were attacking believers who are getting the vaccination. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, they're putting poisons in you and you're getting this shot and where's your faith? Why are so many pastors and preachers, men and women of God, lined up to get this poison in them if they really believe in God? All right, hold on. I'm going to speak up for everybody because y'all know I told y'all a while ago I'm not on the front line. I have to go get that shot. So I have I call it the favor of God. I'm able to sit back and see how a lot of people react to the shot before I have to go or someone says, oh, you have to get this vaccine in order to continue doing what you do. But I need to speak up for a lot of the ministers and men and women of God. Because this is the part that we're missing. There are a lot of men and women of God who serve on the fire department. There are a lot of men and women of God who are doctors and nurses. There are a lot of men and women of God who are police officers, who are teachers, who are social workers with Department of Human Services or whatever you call it in your state or in your country. There are frontline work believe in Jesus Christ. And here's the point. Y'all are judging their faith because their job requires them to get this vaccine so that they can remain on the front line to continue to service and minister and help you in your time of need. Yet we sit back and we judge them, and then we think that we are so much holier in our judgment. So this is my question for everyone who is judging. And please understand, I'm not judging the judgers. I'm just asking the question. If God's word is true, God's word tells us, judge not, or be ye judged, for the same meter in which you judge another shall judgment be rendered to you. Why are we judging? How come so many men and women of God sit back pointing fingers and judging people instead of blessing God that he has kept them as long as he has kept them in the situation that we are currently in? How about instead of saying that they don't have no faith, how about let's call a spade a spade? Some of them got more faith than us, because knowing that they could have an allergic reaction that could kill them, knowing that they're not sure exactly what it is that they're being given to keep them healthy enough, or told to keep them healthy enough so that they can continue to service us, they still want to go get it. So I say their faith is a little bit higher, because as they're going up there, they are still decreeing and declaring Psalms 91:10 over their life and saying that even though I got to let you put this in my arm so I can get back to my post at the hospital or at the fire station or at the, or in the military or wherever it may be on the front line. So that's my thing on that pandemic. We need to stop judging people, period. I don't care if it's about the pandemic or what. I understand. It's the difference between looking at the fruit a person drops and sitting back and passing judgment on what a person is told they have to do in order to keep you safe. And when I say you, I mean all of us who have not yet been required to get the vaccine but still has to go to the hospital, still may have to call an emergency line, still may have to have social services come into our homes or into our lives. So I just needed put that out there since we brought that up on the pandemic, because that's been eating my spirit. And I pray that it's not no men and women of God that I know judging people like that.
Well, unfortunately, let's talk about it, so we want to be honest. There are people out here judging. There have been people out here judging. And the whole point of this right now is that there is no room to be judged. There is going to be a judgment day, and it ain't going to come from us. And that's what people have to start to realize. Yes and no, because unfortunately, to be all the way honest, I don't even believe that there's people that aren't really not wanting to take the shot. And the only reason why I'm going to say that is because if there's a reason why you don't want to take the shot, and it's got something to do with a medical reason of why you can't take the shot, then that's something different. But if you're just not taking the shot because you're not taking the shot and you don't believe that America has done anything right for you and all of the other reasons of why this might not be the good thing, and history says that this is what it is, and all of those other reasons, the best thing to do is just be quiet and hold your peace on it. Because what the fear that I would have in that is that there's so many people that just don't want to take it because somebody around the corner said they wasn't taking it. And before you know it, if everybody in that round in that neighborhood said they wasn't going to take it, guess what's going to end up happening? If they do get sick, everybody in the neighborhood going to be sick. So at the end of the day, it might sound good coming from the one side, but then when you just hear regular conversation in another area and everybody's taking the shot, you have to start to think about it and say, well, what is really going on? What's really going on? It's about the truth. It's about telling somebody about some truth. It's about seeing their light. And like Toy said, the best thing that you can do is you better go find a light. You're going to have to quiet the voices in your head. You're going to have to quiet the voices around you at the water cooler. You know what I mean? Especially at the family call. Because if it's your job, saying that that's what your job has to do, it's not really even up for debate. It's not even a point of conversation. How dare you say something to a person that needs to get something for by requirements to work? You sound silly unless you pay in checks. Simple as that.
You know,
write in checks, you sound silly.
it really troubled my soul and my spirit to see us turn on one another. Like there's so many people and so many different spirits and so many different things that we already have to fight against. As believers in Christ, we should, and I think that's the part that hurt me the most, was that a lot of the judgments were coming from other people who were saying they were believers in Christ. And I'm like, come on, y'all. When do we stand together? Like, when do we remember that we are
the believers in Christ? Think about it now. Now be honest, Joy. Now, if you think about all of the members of the body, if we was to say that everybody was a member, right? All the different denominations or whatever are all different parts of the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
The believers are the ones with the most problems. If you think about it, they the ones that when you walk up in the church, they got to tell you how to do it. They're going to tell you what God told them, how it was supposed to be done. And then they have all the traditions of what the man has said about whatever needs to be done in there. And so all of these other things have come into it. But when you step out of maybe that realm, most people just kind of handle you. You know, there's not too much of a look down upon, like you're doing it the wrong way, or you just don't know, or everybody won't make it in, so I don't really have to tell you too much. I can, you know, I can clutch my pearls and walk the other way on you because you're a lost cause.
No, this is the thing. This is the thing. God said now, and I'm going to look it up because I want to tell you exactly where it's at in His Word. But God said in His Word to let the wheat and the tares grow together. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together, and I will do the separating when I come. That's what God said. That was the words of Christ. And I want to give you, I was in Matthew chapter 13. And if you want to read the whole parable, because it's the parable of the wheat and the tares, you can begin. It runs from verses 24 through 30. Now, here's the thing with wheat and tares. Wheat and tares looks exactly the same. Wheat looks just like tares. The difference is when you really see what the difference is, you see what the difference is when it's tossed up. Because wheat will float on the air and tares will fall to the ground. That's a word right there. True wheat will float on the air and tares fall to the ground. But it looks so much the same that you'll think you're pulling up tares and you're actually pulling up wheat because they look that much alike. So only the true farmer, the true harvester, can come through and separate the wheat and the tares. And when he separates it, this is what he does. He harvests it all together. But then at some point when he gets that wheat and tares back to that threshing floor, that's when the separating comes into place. Now somebody's saying, well, what does that have to do with the Christians and the believers? I've always said to you, there's a difference between being a Christian and being a believer. A Christian is a person who studies the teachings and the walk of Christ. Just because you study His teachings, that makes you a Christian. But just because you study His teachings, it does not make you necessarily a believer. There's a whole lot of other religious beliefs that will study God's word and can tell you word for word everything Jesus said, what He did, when He did it, how He did it, where He was when He did it. You don't believe me? Hold a conversation with some Muslim. I mean, some devout Muslims who have done some real studying. They can break God's scripture down to you. And I'm not talking about the Quran. I'm talking about they can break the Bible down to you better than some folk that call themselves Christians. So being a Christian or a person who studies Christ's teachings does not make you a believer. What makes you a believer is taking that stuff that you study in Christ and applying it to your life. Now you are a believer. See, Christ said, why are we tripping and awing and gogging at the miracles he did? And I'm paraphrasing it. He said, why are y'all tripping on this? These same miracles y'all seen me do, you can do in much greater once the Lord sends the Comforter, or once the Holy Spirit comes, or the power comes from on high, depending on which version you're reading. All referring to the Holy Spirit. So when you get to Christians and believers, Christians do have a lot of doubt in them. Christians are basing their walk off of tradition. A believer will base their walk on Christ's word, on the word of God. A Christian will go, oh my goodness, he's sick. I pray that God will heal him. A believer will walk up and say, God said in his word, by his stripes we are healed, that he was bruised for my transgressions and was wounded for our iniquities, that the Lord saw fit to put the chastisement of our peace upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So in the name of Jesus, we speak healing. See, that's the difference. A Christian will study it in hopes it comes true. A believer will walk in it knowing it's true. Wheat and tare looks a lot alike, but two totally different things.
And right now we're in that process where things are still growing. And as she was trying to say in the beginning, there's more of a man-made separation going on now. And we have now taken it even to the point where we are allowing the race, you know, we got races going on out here.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just humans. You know, God made a race. He made one race, and that was human. He made a race, the human race. The way you look happens to be your location towards the equator. You know, like the way that you became who you are is more so about the lineage and the line that you came from. Your hair is, you know what I mean? Like when you read it all the way back and you root it all the way back, it came from one of the seeds of Abraham. And I broke that thing all the way down to the point where I don't know where, what's that thing that you call ancestry.com?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know how far back ancestry goes, because ancestry should have a point where everybody goes back to Abraham. If your seed don't line all the way back up somewhere somehow, then you need your money back. Because you want all your ancestry. You need to know a little bit about where you came from. That makes you want to know a little bit more about who you are. It's funny because it's February, Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny because it's usually Black History Month to the point where Black people don't get any tick until Black History Month. So then we usually have 28 days of Black History Month. However, three of them are like white president days, and then I think we have a President's Day, all in the month of February. However, now we're getting maybe here or there a Black History moment. I told y'all last time we were on, the last time we were on, it wasn't February, it wasn't February yet. So I didn't tell you about the Rosa Parks pay put on. No, we had to have been on again in February already, because I know I told y'all about Rosa Parks, because they put Rosa Parks on the SEPTA bus and said that was Black History. And I was just like, wait, what just happened. And if we don't watch what's happening, we're going to allow someone to rewrite a history that wasn't even really there in the first place. But we're going to allow them to rewrite it and do it, I guess, different because we even said something about the last one. And now people have known, you know, they're finding out more and more things. So now because it's so harmful to what was going on and it's so harmful to tell the story, now we want to change the story so that when we're telling it, the narrative sounds better. We need to make sure that our narrative sticks and stays in the cultural in the cultural set that it needs to. I understand that as we move and do more and more and more things and add more and more stuff to it, it just gets you further and further and further away from God and the fact that we were all made in His image.
I want to hit on two things that you said. First, what you said at the start of it, when you said that we all come from one. If you were to look up mitochondrial Eve. Now, we're talking about DNA tracing when you talk about mitochondrial, and we're talking about human genetics, not just one race of human genetics, but human genetics out mankind. And what they realized was that in human genetics, the mitochondrial Eve is the maternal most recent common ancestor of all living humans. In other words, she is defined as the most recent woman from whom all living humans descended in an unbroken line purely through their mothers and through the mothers of those mothers back until all lines converged on one woman. So basically what they did was they DNA testing on this common gene that we all have and took it all the way back through time till they found this one woman that we call Eve. They named the mitochondrial Eve. And just so that we keep it straight, they found her in Africa, y'all. Just since it's Black history, I might throw that piece of information out there. They found her in Africa. They found her, you know, in Africa. But even with that, here's the part. If you read the full report, she goes back further, which means she was a descendant of the original. And if they found her bones, she was a descendant of one of the two originals, Adam or his wife Eve, that apparently did not have a true relationship with God because they found her bones. They find Moses or Noah or Adams or Abels or none of theirs yet, but they found hers. Remember that first resurrection? They all got caught up. But what that says is we are all one. God made Adam or the being of the ground or the being of the earth. That's what Adam means, of the earth. And then in our translation, we just started calling him Adam. But God said he made Adam and he made male and female Adam. That's what the word of God says. Now, when we get down to this racism and all of that stuff that's going on and all of the craziness that's going on around us, we got to get back to one simple thing. We call it racism. We call it hatred. We call it pride. We call it all these different terms. But if you was to take all those boxes, it's only two separate boxes they go into, righteousness and unrighteousness, good and evil. And that's what we're really dealing with. And as long as Satan keeps making us look at, oh, that person is right, that person ain't racist, that person got a spirit riding them, that person was taught that spirit. That spirit was impregnated in them, birthed into them, and groomed into those people. That's what brings about racism, the passing on of spirits. And if you don't believe me, go into a preschool and look at some children that have not been taught anything yet and watch how they all interact one with another, no matter what. Chinese, Indian, Hispanic, African-Americans, Africans, Jamaicans, Irish, German, those children will play together until an adult gets into the mix and starts spreading their venom. Well, this one looks like that, and that one looks like this, and this looks like, come on, y'all, call it what it is. It's righteousness versus unrighteousness. Even with everything that's going on in America right now, it's righteousness versus unrighteousness. You're either trying to do good or you're doing bad. There is no in between. I don't care if you're doing bad, doing crimes on people, or if you're doing bad just using racism in your mouth. You're either doing good or you're doing bad. You're serving God or you're serving Lucifer. There is no in between.
I like how she said it, because when I was, I think the thing that hit me the most was when they said, only what you do for Christ will last. It kind of pissed me off at first, because I figured, wow, wait, I do so much. Wait. Oh, so you mean I don't need to do that? Oh, because it's not actually rooted in anything, or I'm not giving back, or yeah, okay. So then you start to, like, look at what you do. You look at your circles. You look at the people that you are involved with. Like, especially if you have children right now. If you have children and your children aren't engaging with other children in other neighborhoods, you need to step out and do more. How do your kids meet? There's all different types of ways. If they're camps or Zooms or whatever the case may be, we all have to make a conscious effort to take our children out of our comfort zones and out of their comfort zones to make them be the people that they need to be to grow up. What we need to do is make sure that we understand that sometimes what we have and what we do is not the best example. And the first thing we have to do is, like, be honest about the fact that we might not be the best example. After we realize that we might not be the best example, then we kind of have to sit back and watch. The reason being is because our children are teaching us a lot in all of this pandemic. The best thing I think that they have taught us is how to cope, to the point where everything can't just be how you want it to be, and everything can't be that funny joke that you just want to say. Because what happens is the funny joke that you just want to say becomes the kid's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So now the funny joke that we just wanted to say in the house that we thought was funny is now the message that we've sent to our children. Now when our children do it outside, it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to laugh, but we can't laugh because we would normally laugh, but we wouldn't have really laughed. You know, we laugh in the house, but now we're outside in front of people, and that might not have been socially funny. But in my house, it was hilarious, and that's why my kid just did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing about the messages that sometimes we are not paying attention to the messages that we are giving off to our children. And they are watching, but we don't realize it. Another thing I realized is police and policing. The police are trying to put another conversation in the air, in the minds of the communities. What's going to end up happening is that the communities are going to have to embrace what the police are attempting to do, because the one thing we have to realize is that they might not make it the first time or the second time or the third. But as a community, we have to make the idea to say, this is what we want as a community. And we stand together with our police officers to bring back a a type of community, and that's exactly what it is, to bring back a neighborhood, you know, so that children don't think that if they go down the street, they're going to get snatched by somebody because there's going to be another adult that's watching them and just making sure that they're not too close to the curb. And because the van just stopped, who was the van? And then they just going to yell. You understand? About community as opposed to someone watching the kid get thrown in the car and no one really react to it because we're not really paying attention to the community. We're just kind of like worried about what's going on right here. But then 2 days later, when we hear that somebody got snatched, we're like, damn, we were right there and we didn't even pay attention because we weren't looking into our community. We weren't trying to commune with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that in 2021, it's going to be a time that we bring community back, that we start to reestablish our neighborhoods. But it is going to, you know, I see the police trying to do whatever, but I know that whatever the police try to do, if the community is not willing to commune, it's not going to work.
They have to be willing to embrace it. The community has to be willing to embrace it and to be honest, if it's just conversation with no action, it'd be just like everything we've just gone through. You know, we were protesting with Black Lives Matter, and I'm not saying everybody was. I mean, as a nation in general, people were protesting Black Lives Matter. And our argument was we should not be shot down at traffic stops. We should not be shot down because someone that looks like what you consider to be pure and innocent said that someone with color on their complexion looks like they were doing something illegal. You know, like I'm at a Mac machine and I have 4 or 5 credit cards and you don't think that I'm the proper color to have them, or I'm in a neighborhood in a car that it doesn't look like I'm the proper color to drive in or live in, or, you know, things like that. But instead of them stopping the killings, what they did was they said, well, we're going to take Aunt Jemima off the pancake syrup box, and we're going to take Uncle Ben off of the rice, and we're going to take down the statues of Columbus and General Lee and all of them people, and that's going to make y'all happy, right? No, that doesn't make us happy because you're still killing us in the street. Don't change our story. Our history is our history. The United States of America has one of the most violent histories in the world. It was a group of criminals sent from another country that came into this land, killed off the inhabitants of this land, tried to enslave the inhabitants of this land. When they found out they were not made for slavery, they then went to the continent of another land, manipulated the kings there, got them to sell their enemies into slavery, then decided, guess what? We don't need y'all kings no more. We can get y'all ourselves, and just started kidnapping families from another continent, bringing them over here as slaves, and then did all types of brutalities and cruelties to them before they so-called freed them. And then from that point on, still held them under thumb, along with anybody that did not fit what they decided looked America or American enough for them. You don't have to change our history. Our history is what it is. What we're asking you to do is change our future. I'm not asking you to take down General Lee. He did what he did. I'm not asking y'all to move George Washington. Because guess what? He might be a founding father, but he had slaves. Y'all ain't moved him off of nothing. So I'm saying to say, let our history stand, because if we remember the craziness and the illness that and the sinfulness that we lived in our past, we might do better in our future. If we teach our children what we've come from, they can have a better future for where they're going. But we so busy trying to say, oh, no, that sounds so harsh. Well, guess what? It felt harsh when it was being done to us. Don't change the history. That's somebody go, oh, we didn't really crucify Christ. Yes, y'all did, but it was for a purpose. It was for salvation. Don't change the history. Because when you change the history, you change the future. Don't change our history. That's why we're sitting here now. Blacks and whites are, oh, Jesus was white. Jesus was black. He was this. He was that. Don't change the history. Let it stand. That's what you did to us. That's what you did to people of color, to people that came here from other lands. Let's not forget what they did to the Orientals that came here on the railroad. Let's not forget what they did to the Jews who came here seeking seeking asylum from the abuse they were going through, and then how you treated them here. Let's not forget that during the Korean War, we locked up Koreans in camps and said they were a danger. I mean, Koreans who had been here for years, had grandparents and great-grandparents. They were born here, but they got locked up. Don't change the history of who we are. Learn from it so we can do better.
Well,
that's why
the process of we need to do better.
That's why I'm not mad that they still talking about what happened on the 6th, because they need to remember what happened so that we can do better moving forward. We got to do better. God ain't pleased with this mess. And then we all sitting here, oh, Jesus. He ain't happy.
Unfortunately, he's not. And as long as we continue to even see it, it's not helping. Now, I know that we're about to, the show is almost on the way to the end, but we could talk for hours on history. And my history, your history, our history, their history, the whole nine. And when you get into history, that's when things get all the way misconstrued and everything else. So if they are going to bring something into play, it should be something of how to make it right, how to make it right today. Now, it's not going to sit well with many, but it needs to get passed, whatever it needs to get passed, so that we can go on to our children. So I don't agree with the seeing this January 6th again and then making it seem as if this is going to happen again. So now we have to live in a fear of this happening again. Every time they repeat it, it's just spewing the hate that was on it the first time. And if you continuously watch it, that means you're still in last year. Like you're still in the first week of January. And unfortunately, the world has moved on. And that's where we need to kind of want to be, because the easier that we move on and not have to be doing this or doing that or telling this story or reliving that, every time that we relive a story, we are giving life to the story that hasn't even been born in the babies. And I mean, I don't know how to say that in a way where everyone can understand it and just take it, but like from the eyes of the children, even if there was a situation, you have to explain it to me like it was you know what I mean? You have to tell it to me in that manner, so that you're not giving me anything of how you feel when you are telling me what's happening. And that's a problem. We have to be able to pass, we have to be able to get past that, because unfortunately, as long as we still talking, it can be talked about. The only way it's not going to be talked about is if we stop talking about it and we go to something else. And we go to the place where we need to be, and that's on solid. That's on solid ground. That's Christ. That's the solid rock There's no color, no race, no creed. There's nothing in that. That's blood. That's blood.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to the blood, it will. I believe that it kind of, it will wash the rest of it out, because there's wrongs on every side, right? And if there's wrongs on every side, all wrongs should just be able to put it in the box and say, our babies deserve another 160 years. And nobody thinks that we have that many, that we're not even thinking of our generations for that long. I'm not sure how we've rewritten it. I mean, but we know so much. Everyone knows so much. And then our technology and our knowledge and the information and this technology is getting so more and more and more advanced, you know, that it's like it gets you further and further and further away from the root. But when it all shuts down and we have a dark age, I guess I'm going to speak that on it next. You know, we didn't talk about the quarantine. We didn't shut us down. So now I guess say when we have that major blackout that tells everyone that they have to go back to the book and they have to go back to a calculator, you know, finding their own direction, that kind of stuff, asking for directions. You know what I mean?
When they got to go do some research.
Asking for help. Yeah. Going to the library, something like that. The Guru Definite System. You know what I mean? Like learning that kind of stuff. God forbid we have to go backwards.
This is where I think I am with it. I don't mind the conversation as long as... Well, no, I'm saying that wrong. I don't mind them still talking about what happened, as long as in our talking about what happened again, so that we can do better, so that it can offer a chance of change, so that it can offer a chance of hope. Like, at the end of the day, it's really coming down to the point that God getting tired of people playing. God is getting tired of people playing with him. God is getting tired of people playing with his children. And that's what we're doing. We're playing. We're playing church. We're playing saved. We're playing a relationship. We playing God like we playing that sister or that dude around the corner. You know, he got something that we really want, so we talking to him, but talking to somebody else too, because they got something we want also. That's how a lot of folk are really doing right now. Like a while ago, you heard it say, if you want to see change, for real change take place, they need to start praying in the Senate again. They need to start praying in Congress again. And then what happened? They got into session and they prayed. And then they said, Mother, Father, God. What? Mother, Father, God. Because that sounds politically correct. Oh, so now we're going to change God's word so it can sound politically correct to people? We're going to take stuff out of God's word so that it can justify our sin. Now, if we're going to show it, if we're going to talk about it, it needs to be about change. That's why here at Purpose Kingdom, everything we do at some point, way, fashion, it comes back to the word of God. And the reason we bring it back to the word of God is so that we can offer God to you, so we can help you find that change for your life. But for us, we believe that change is in Jesus Christ. So we don't just talk about God and talk about how to apply his word to your life and talk about having a personal relationship. We also offer it to you as God instructed us to do in his word. See, I'm going to share my history real quick. I was jacked up. And what made my jacked up be worse than most people, I was jacked up and I knew better. I was like, thank you, Lord. I was like Solomon messed up. Like, I was brought up in the word of God. I was brought up being taught the word of God. I was brought up being taught the oracles of God's word and the oracles of the faith. But at some point, I hit a point where it was like, yo, I ain't feeling y'all no more. I'm going to go over to this side and do me. I was jacked up. And I went out there and did everything I thought I was big and bad and bold enough to do. One day a woman reminded me in a still small voice, I'll never forget it. Her name was Miss Barbara. She lived down the street from me. I was about 13. She pulled me over to her one day. She said, come here, sweetie, let me talk to you for a second. She said, God just told me, tell you, he's not pleased with what you're doing. How you doing it and the way you're moving. And at that time, I didn't receive it. I was still trying to do me. And I went out there for some more years and did what I wanted to do, but then God planted another seed in me. And then at some point, one of those seeds, the roots burst through my flesh, and I couldn't run anymore. The change had started to take place. To me up. After I left him. When the word of God says he is married to the backslider, I am a living witness. Because he picked me up after I said nicked him to him. After I fixed you, God, I ain't messing with you. I might as well be honest. That's what I said. That's where my head was because I was mad at him. But he still loved me. He still loved me enough that while somebody went through my history and told me all the bad I have done, they also said, but guess what? God loves you. And he loves you so much, and you know this, that he gave his only begotten son for you. And that thing stuck in me and took root, and it grew. And I remembered who I was created to be. I remembered that I was not just some little black poor girl walking around the streets of Philadelphia. I wasn't the statistic of a young unwed mother. I was wonderfully and fearfully made. God knew me while I was still in my mother's womb. I was marvelously stitched together. God has his thoughts towards me. He knows his thoughts towards me. He knows his plans towards me. And they were thoughts and plans of good and for me to prosper, not thoughts of destruction. And that's what he is sending me to let somebody know tonight, that he loves you, that he knew you in your mother's womb. And that everything that you have been through that makes you think that he is not there for you, he is standing there saying, son, daughter, if you would just turn and come to me, I'm standing here with open arms. I just can't force you. I can't grab you and make you come. That's called rape and assault, a kidnap. He said, you got to come willingly. But if you come to me willingly, oh, I have so much for you. And I'm a living witness of it. He said, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm here to tell you, he not just good, he good. He like Lay's potato chip good. You can't just take one. You got to go more and more and more. That's how his blessings flow on you. He just bless you when you don't even realize you being blessed. That's the God I serve. And you can have a relationship with him tonight. You just accept him. You just come to him and say, Father, I accept the gift you gave. I admit I messed up. But thank you. Because in my messed up, you loved me so much you sent your son that my messed up could get fixed up. He could turn my mess into my message and my test into my testimony. While I'm in the land of the living. And I can declare his goodness. So you just say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the gift, and I accept the gift of your son into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I ask him to make me new in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you say that prayer, then just tell somebody, hey, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning worship service, Sabbath school, Bible study, none of that. Because we're talking about a relationship, not a church membership. But once you do, welcome you to the kingdom of God, my brother and my sister. And yes, it's going to look like it's going to get a whole lot worse because Satan is mad that you let him go and embraced Christ. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how much that little demon, devil, Lucifer raises his head, he sounds like a lion, but he's not a lion. The scripture said he walks around like a roaring lion. The fact that it says like mean he ain't one. He just a cat using a megaphone. And you can kick a cat out your way when you got Christ on your side. y'all don't got to be kicking no cats. I'm talking, you know, metaphorically. But we bless God for you. And for those who we believe by faith gave their life to Christ this evening, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the same knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God. That's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for each and every one of you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting at 9 p.m. right here on www.talkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Also, keep your eyes open on our social media page. PK Worship Center will be coming to you this year very soon. So please keep your eyes and your ears open on our social media pages. We love you with the love of Christ. We thank and praise God for each and every one of you who have joined in to listen to us this evening. And Sister Adrienne, I think it's time for us to take something back.
Well, I'm glad that you said it, because if you are new to Let's Talk About It, we do something that we started almost a year and a half ago, and it was about just being the catalyst that we wanted to be in this new season, and that was called We Taking It Back. We taking back something that the devil stole and that it is rightfully ours, and now today's Take It Back for me. Kind of something like that's going on with you. I'm going to help you out with your little, I'm going to give you a freeway to your Take It Back, right?
Okay.
I'm going to just say it's time for people to put their money where their mouth is. And if you said it, be about it. Back it up. If not, shut it up. Or fix it up, do something different than just standing on something and then saying that God told you that that's what it was. And then just standing on it and like God told you that's what it was, but then just disappear. You don't ever show back up to confirm what God said, or I was wrong, he wasn't talking to me. My bad. I thought that was God, but that was the McChicken that I had ate earlier today that didn't sit well with me, and it was telling me something. I thought it was something else. Can I say it like that in a nice way to say, just get this together, people. If you're going to say something, say what you're going to say, and then at least be there when the people looking for you, when it ain't come out the way you said it was going to be. Like, show up.
Listen. Now, wait a minute. Before we go into my Take It Back, we have a caller on the line.
Uh-oh. Come on, caller.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Wait a minute. I can't. Can you hear him?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Mm-mm.
Good. Hello.
Speak up. I hear you. I do hear you.
This is Evangelist Todd T.C. Nelson. I want to take something back. We're going to talk some good stuff tonight. So Jesus said to me, take back the word of God from Lucifer. Since Lucifer has been twisting the word of God around, he's been taking the word of God around and misleading people by taking God's words out and want to change it to fit, try to cover your sins. When you call good evil and evil good, you are really, really having people, when people say that and proving that and trying to force that to be a way, you are really taking God's words the wrong way. So right now, Jesus and I want to take God's words back from Lucifer, out of his hands, out of his mouth, out of his demons' hands, out of their mouths, so they can't speak it no more. May the word of God be confusing unto them, so they won't be understand as the word. When you start reading the book of Proverbs, the reason why God gives you instructions for it, there's a Proverbs for 31 days each day of the month. And the reason why you read one all the way to the end of the month, start back over to the end of the month, start back over. Because when you first start to read the Word of God, the Proverbs, got to tell you, it sounds like a riddle. You don't understand it. It bounces around so much around this, talking about this and talking about that. But when you start going over it and reading, like Jesus and I read over a million times, still reading it, it still even sometimes have to go to God and have him unriddle the riddle that he's saying. So the word of God is a riddle to us. Imagine what it is to Lucifer speaking it to us, a riddle. The only way to get the true word of God is to come from God, to go to God. So that's why right now we're taking back the word of God. So those who want to know the word of God, go to God and let God teach you his words. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, he said, I've come to take God's word. Amen. Well, wait, that's funny because that sort of go in line with what I want to take back. I want to take back the power of God. I want the saints of God to remember who they are in Christ Jesus. I want us to remember that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. I need us to remember that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. I want us to remember that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And why do I want us to take back that power? So we can stop acting like punks and start standing up and fighting for the word of God and for the kingdom of God. Stop sitting back and just dropping our heads going, that's a shame. I don't believe they treating us like that. No, remember who we are. Remember we got the power of life and death in our tongue. Remember that we can speak things that are not as if they are. Remember we walk by faith and not sight. I want us to take back the power of God. And the reason I'm saying take it back is because the enemy has made so many of us believe that we are powerless. When you are with Christ Jesus, you are more than powerful. So that's my take it back this evening.
I think that kind of sums it up right there for everybody right there. If you're out there and you're listening and you ain't understand that one, I say take very slow steps and start with the Monday motivation. Look, start with the morning motivations that we give out every day. Start with that. Go read that scripture. Brother Todd just told you, Minister Todd just said Proverbs. That was the book. He said Proverbs. It's 31 Proverbs. So you read it. He said go forward a month and then backwards. 31. Get it in. Let that word sink in. And then, like he said, it is a riddle, but it's the riddle to life. And
amen.
It's the riddle to life.
And that's evangelist Todd, y'all. That's evangelist Todd. But we bless God for what he said. That's right. Get that riddle. Because here goes the thing, and this is further proof that what he just said was true about it being a riddle and what Adrian just said, the riddle to life. Jesus was talking to the disciples one day, and they said, Master, why do you keep talking in parables? And I'm summarizing it. He basically said, I'm talking to you in parables so that those who God has hardened their hearts or blind their eyes or covered their ears so they would not see or could not hear because they've had the ability to know and see and hear and been ignoring him. He said, I talk in parables because God has given it unto you. Understand the mysteries and the keys of the kingdom. It might sound like a riddle, but he's given us the power to understand it. He's given us the power to not just understand it, but to apply it. And we just need to apply it, y'all, which go back to that power. Adrian, close it out before I get to talking about something else.
Well, would you be free from this burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be free from this burden of sin? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondrous working power in the blood.
In the blood.
Of the Lamb. There is power, wondrous working power in the precious blood of
y'all better go on down.
I think that'll do it.
See y'all in 2 weeks.
Have a good one. He's a slave.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.